It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study God's Word, and we're in Genesis chapter 28. We're going to begin reading with the 10th verse. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to find your place in Genesis chapter 28 and begin, as I begin to read, please follow along. Genesis chapter 28, beginning to read with verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and on thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Thank you, Father, for the day that you have given us, and please that you would guide and lead us and just set us on the path of righteousness, set us on a path of the proper direction. And the only way that can come is to begin with, we must come by faith to you and trust in you, Lord, please. Today I ask that you will convict every heart that's listening. If they, Father, have been very religious and very faithful to their church, but they have never come by faith to you, they have never trusted in you, please, Lord, don't let them miss that. Don't let that opportunity go away, that they do not get the chance to come and be a child of God. And that chance, Father, is not you just don't become a Christian by chance. It is an opportunity. And if you miss that opportunity, as God calls you, as His Spirit, and He gives us so much evidence of His being and of our need of a Savior and of who that Savior is, Jesus Christ and Him alone, all this is given to us. All evidence is given to us. Please, that we look to Him and we look for His way, we look for His will, and we ask Father for ask you Father for your strength, that we may come by faith to you and be saved and then begin a wonderful walk with you. Please, today, grow us and show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find Jacob leaving. And in his leaving, of course, was very abrupt and very quick because he had stolen something from his brother, and his brother was mad, and so Rebecca and Isaac had kind of, Rebecca had went to Isaac and says, you know, I think that Jacob needs to go back to our home where I came from, Rebecca said. I need to go back there that we can find Jacob a proper wife. Well, everybody was in agreement to that, and so here came Jacob to Isaac, and Isaac agreed, and they sent Jacob away. And so as they headed now out and over back to the old country, so to speak, where Rebekah came from and where Abraham and Sarah came from, and so he's heading back that day. Well, he had quite a day's journey here, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for a pillow and laid down in the place to sleep. Now, isn't that something? How this is that looks? It's quite a motel, isn't it? You know, as we think of a place of rest, why it's a little bit different than that, isn't it? It's not a place where we can just gather a couple stones and lay on the cold ground. You think about that, Jacob. You know, he didn't grab a lot of provisions when he left. He just, I think, left very quickly and probably just a little bit of directions of where he was going, and that was about it. And so off he goes. And in this travel and in this going, why, he probably has traveled here a pretty good distance. And as we look from Beersheba to Bethel, and that's where we find him, why, that's about 40 miles. And so he made pretty good time in that travel. But you look now as he's beginning to lay down and rest, and, you know, Esau, he was a hunter. He was one that was out and about and probably was stronger, and he would have been up for this trip a lot of, maybe more so than what Jacob would be. But we find Jacob now as he comes to this place, and it was probably a nice little area where he looked comfortable. He had the trees and everything, but you think about that. His what he laid on was the cold ground, and what he put his head on was the cold stones, and then you have the cool air of the evening. That's what Jacob had for his protection, and so he found himself falling asleep, thinking probably that, boy, I'm going to be have more aches and pains in the morning than I have today, than I have tonight after I sleep in this manner. But we find that not to be true. Upon him falling asleep, he lay down in the place to sleep in verse 11 and verse 12, and he dreamed. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Now, this is quite a dream that Jacob is having here. Do you believe that Jacob probably felt that he was all alone? I do. I think that he was leaving, and I don't think he's ever kind of left his mother's apron strings, as you might say here. And yet now, all of a sudden, why, he is put out on his own, and he is traveling alone, and it is a long journey that he has to make, a new journey. He's never been there before, and so it's quite a different time in Jacob's life here. And so being alone, feeling alone, he has this dream. And you think about this dream. We have a ladder. And as we see this ladder that seems to stretch from the earth all the way to heaven. Now, that's quite a ladder. That's quite a dream, isn't it? And this isn't any dream because of something that you ate. This was a dream that God had brought to him, that he could see that he was not alone. He was never alone. And as you look at this ladder, why, let's see what it tells us here. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. and behold the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And so what kind of action do we have here? Now we've got this ladder in place, and it seems like that it is again stretching from Jacob's feet all the way to up into the heavens, all the way to the throne of God. And isn't that that's quite a ladder? Well, that was the dream that he was seeing there. And we need to understand that any and all protection that we have, all strength that we have, all wisdom that we have, comes from above. And so when we look at that top of the ladder, well, we can see the wisdom of God and the power of God and the strength of God. And that's exactly, I believe, what Jacob was seeing here. But he was also seeing something else. He was seeing the angels coming and going. And it, behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Boy, they just up and down, up and down, up and down. And so as the we see these angels at work, number one, angels never sleep. They don't require sleep. And so they are busy, and there's no rest, and they're up and down that ladder, no rest, day nor night, ascending and descending. You know, and as they would be doing that, you think about what their purpose of ascending and descending. Now, as they were going up to heaven, they were going back to report what they had finished. Everything was done. Of course, the Lord already knew what that was, but they would report back home for the next mission that God would send them on. When they come down, when they would be descending, they would be on a mission that God had given them. And for whoever and for whatever purpose, the Lord would send them, and they would go about their business, and they would be busy in doing the Lord's work and will. And so you just imagine that. Just think about that. As they would ascend, they were finished with the job that God had sent them to do. As they were descending, they had a new job. They had something else that they needed to do that the Lord had directed them to do. Now, be very careful, because as we look at the angels here, many of you folks, I'm sure, have statues of angels. Be careful with that, because any time that you have a something that is of the Scripture here, and all of a sudden some man has come up with what they believe an angel looks like, and it's a cute little thing. They have, you know, you can buy baby angels and full-grown angels and big angels and little angels and all kinds of combinations there. But if you'll think about it, you need to be careful, because one statement that you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, I've got my guardian angel. No, you don't. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then He has at His time, at His disposal, whatever He wants to do, He can send an angel to help or to assist or to do anything that He wants that angel to do. But it is not your given angel. There is nothing in the Word of God that gives us that information. That is all man's doing and thinking. That there is some, every one of us, as people saved and lost alike, will make that statement. Oh, my guardian angel must have been close to me today. Well, you don't have a guardian angel. You either have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you don't, because you have rejected His free gift of salvation. You may go to church, you may be faithful to the church, and yet you still have rejected Jesus Christ because you have not faced your sin, you have not recognized the Spirit of God dealing with your lost heart, and recognized the Spirit as you confess your sin, realize that you're lost, and turn unto Jesus Christ. You must do that. And after doing that, then there is all kinds of purposes that God can use these angels for. And you know what? God, if He wants to, can send an angel down for somebody that's lost to see that something is finished and see that something is underway. I don't know what purpose God has for these angels other than it is for His purpose. For His way. It is not for ours. We don't have some angel that we can call upon. Jacob here did not have These angels weren't for his use. Okay, God is not saying that I am sending these angels now, and they will take turns, and they will deliver you over to the place you're going, and then they will bring you back when time is right. It's not it at all. It's not it at all. It is that we have the angels, and they are at in service all the time, day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Angels are in service, but unto the Lord, not unto us. And so I hope that you get that straight, and I hope that you have a whole stack of these angels, that you'll kind of rid your house of those statues, because I don't believe that God ever intended us to have and to look upon those things as and we don't have any idea what an angel looks like. If you look at the description in the Bible, it is nothing like what you see in your stores and places like that. And I have seen folks that have quite a collection of angels. They collect them. Don't collect angels. Serve the Lord. Praise God. Worship Him. And if He chooses to send an angel to help, that's fine. Let's one more time remember what we're doing here. The angel is coming down because he is in service to the Lord for some purpose, some job that needs to be done, and God is sending him for that job. When he's ascending, he has finished that job, and he's reporting back to the throne of God, awaiting to be sent again. That's the purpose, and that's what we're seeing here. That's all we're seeing here. It says they're busy at it. And the connection we need to see here is that it is going to from the throne of God to the down here to earth. And so the wonderful, as Jacob here is asleep, and we find that this should bring him comfort to know that God is in control. And God does have messengers that come to help when we're in need, and it should show Jacob that he was not alone. There's much going on, and I am right here, the Lord would say. And you know, if we look right at this ladder, you may see something a little bit more as we look at this thing that reaches from earth to heaven. Christ himself is that ladder. The foot that's on the earth, the base of the ladder, the foot of the ladder, is his human, natural being when he came and took on the body of a man. And the top is his divine nature. So we have his human nature and we have his divine nature. You know, he is 100% God and yet 100% man. Now, when the foot would be his place of humility or humiliation, because that's what it was for him to come down from glory and to come down here. And of course, the top would be when he is exalted and lifted up on high as he should be. And so we have everything between. And the only way to get to heaven, the only way to get to the throne of God the Father, is through and by the Son. And he's our ladder. Don't try to go up there any other way. Don't try to sneak around the corner. Don't try to sneak underneath the fence. You have to climb the ladder. And to climb the ladder is not something, okay, each good deed is a rung on that ladder. And if I finish all of the good deeds I need to do, then I'll make it. That's not it at all. That's not the way at all. It is a time when you turn to Him and you come to Him, Jesus Christ. You are a member of heaven. You've received salvation. You are a child of God. You are part of the kingdom of heaven. Immediately, his kingdom, immediately upon coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have this ladder showing us the connection between heaven and earth. And so I ask that you don't miss the opportunity to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now, again, this all come about and was all required because of the fall. Prior to the fall, God was present in the garden. There was no need for one to intercede between man and God, because they were together. They had fellowship together. But when man sinned, that fellowship was broken. There was no fellowship. There was no kindred spirit, because man was evil and wicked, and God is perfect. And so there was nothing between them. Somebody had to pay that debt, and it would be you and me, and will be you and me if you choose not to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Because that debt will be paid for, and the wages of sin is death. So that's the cost. So you're going to die. You're dead spiritually right now. And unless you come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved, you will continue to be dead and forever dying. You know, that's quite a picture as you look at that, as we get to the place of the place of torment and the place of the lake of fire. It is not, you know, many people believe that death is something that is, you know, when you take that last breath, that's it, and you just you don't exist any longer. Oh no, your spirit goes to the place of torment, and you will continue with the pain and the suffering as your old body had, as you continue dying. You physically died, but you will continue in that pain and suffering. And that will be for eternity, because you see, at the end of time, there will be a final judgment. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. At that time, you will be reconnected with your old, ugly flesh body, and you will begin to continue to suffer. Now, anybody that you know that does not know Jesus Christ, you best get to him and tell him about that wonderful, wonderful free gift of salvation, a wonderful gift to give, and no better gift can be given than Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's for Christmas or for birthdays or whenever it is, never could you give a better present than to tell them about Jesus. It's so important that you do that. Now, let's look at this. We find that, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. The Lord begins from the top of the ladder, begins to speak unto Jacob at the bottom of the ladder. We have the angels ascending and descending, but he begins to speak to them. And again, the only way is by this ladder. All God's graces, all God's favors come to us from heaven, come down. All of our service that we do for him should go up to him. They should not be stored here upon this earth in some manner, in some bank account, or in some glorious house that we have built, or fancy car that we drive. It should be our work, our service should be centered toward Jesus Christ and sent up to him, that he would receive the honor and glory. And so again, what he does for us comes down to us. What we do for him goes up to him. The same ladder seems to be in place. With this ladder, again, that's the only way. And that ladder is Jesus Christ. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ. Any other way is as thieves and robbers. All good comes to us through Jesus Christ and him alone. Now look at the promise, the blessings that Jacob begins to hear about here. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. The promise that, the blessing that Isaac had given to Jacob was similar to this. But we find Abraham received the promise. Isaac received the promise. Now Jacob is receiving this beautiful promise. And look what he's saying. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And to thee and to thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Of course, that only comes through Jesus Christ and him alone for that blessing. But for the land that the nation of Israel would gain, would receive. And you think about it, as you look at this location in Bethel, You think about where that's located, and I hope that you can kind of see it on a map. We we have a map in front of us most of the time for the Sunday night and the Wednesday night Bible study. Sometimes we refer to it quite often, and other times not so much, but I can picture exactly where Bethel is. And Bethel is the very southern end, the southern tip of the northern kingdom of Israel. You know, it's not going to be too long here that we've got quite a journey to go to where they're gathered and end up. He goes to his land where his mother was from and where Abraham and Sarah was from, and he gets himself a bride. Actually, he gets two, and then he brings them home back to this promised land that we've receiving the promise right here, and as they begin to grow, it builds up to, I believe, 70 souls, if my memory serves me right. And then there becomes a famine in the land. Well, there's some problems with one of the children, with Joseph and the other children, and so he ends up down in Egypt, and they all end up down in Egypt eventually. Well, then, several hundred years later, they leave Egypt. And then that's when they really take possession of this land for the first time. And we've got a long ways to go before we get to that place. Well, then it's not long that they begin to turn to the gods of the land. And they divide. And there begins two kingdoms. And that's right after the reign of Solomon. We have David and then Solomon. And then the land is divided. And there's a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Judah. Ten tribes are north and two are south. And so this Bethel is the southern edge of the northern kingdom. And so we find that this is a house of God here. This as he begins with what he takes care of here, we find that it doesn't maintain to be the house of God because there's a golden calf that is built there and up in Dan by the northern kingdom. By a very evil, wicked king, the very first king that takes control of the northern kingdom. So much to learn in God's Word. And you look at this place, and we know that we ran into it with Abraham, and now we're back with Jacob to this place of Bethel. And what a beautiful place it is. And again, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. What a promise. Right now, Isaac, it started out with Abraham, and when he received the promise, he had no children. When Isaac received the promise, he had no children. Now Jacob's receiving the promise, and he isn't even married. He has no children. But this promise, as he stands there, and it is about midway, if you'll look on the map, you'll find it to be about midway. And he says, you look west and east and north and south, and in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So it's not that I'm just going to bless your immediate family, but because of you and through your seed will be. And it was virgin born. And it comes through this family of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And again, if you're familiar with the Word of God, you'll know that Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And now we find, behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. Now remember, Jacob's in a dream. This is a wonderful dream, a dream of comfort. You know, here he is on a rock for a pillow and the cold ground for a bed and the cold air, and yet I'll tell you what, this is a beautiful dream that he's receiving, directions from the Lord, the promises. He thought he was alone. He found he's not alone at all. And wonderful as we look at this, and he has promised that not only will I let you go back where you're going, but also I will bring you back again, and know that for sure, and know for sure that you are going through your seed, the land, the world will be blessed, and it is because of Jesus Christ. Please come by faith to Jesus today. Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He thought he'd come alone, didn't he? Then he continues, and he says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. this is the gate of heaven. And we find in verse 19 that he calls this place Bethel, the house of God. And it is a wonderful reminder, and I've given you a little quick survey of what's to come. And it's not not good as the people continue to turn away from the Lord. We'll begin here just as where Jacob awakes next time we have a chance to come together. And I'll look forward to that. It's wonderful to study God's Word and to look at it. I hope that you enjoyed the study. And I have a question for you as always. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?